You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I was the big man on campus, and she was wearing a tube top, which at the time was like a... I know, baby. The kids, look up tube top.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I think I was pooping during the eclipse at its peak. I mistimed it.
And there you go. And there you go. We've just started the episode. Good job, Yeti, with that revelation.
That is disrespectful.
I wasn't interested in seeing the sun with the, because people are going to take great pictures that I can see later. But I wanted to see how dark it got because I thought Atlanta was getting more coverage than we ended up getting. And so I noticed it getting a little tan outside, like you're wearing sunglasses. And but then I was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. But it's not supposed to be for like another 20 minutes. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then I get out of the bathroom and like nothing else, it just didn't get any darker. And I was like, well, crap.
Let this podcast be the last to cover the eclipse, by the way. Like, I feel
I'm tired of disrespecting the eclipse. Let's not even go there.
I was at a Dunkin' Donuts when the eclipse happened and I was about to get a haircut and I was just like, I kind of want to look, but I don't have the glasses and this lady has them. Like, is it appropriate to ask someone to like, hey, would I have been in the wrong to be like, hey, can I try?
Yo, lady, let me see your glasses.
No, you could have done that. I mean, they're all $3 cardboard glasses.
But then like it was like kind of tight on her face. I don't know if she's like, oh, I'm just going to give this person the stranger. And then it's all up on my face.
Yeah, you could have gotten a pair from me. I don't know what you were thinking.
I didn't care that much. It's just like in the wild, I saw it and I was just like, and then I turned into a child. I was like, can I trick it? I tried to like take a photo of it with my phone. And then like, if I look at that, I'm good.
No, the photo, you didn't have a solar lens. So the photo just comes out crazy. Like the ones I took.
Greg Cody, eclipse expert.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
Enough with you.
Believe me, I'm the only one I know other than Jessica who cares about the eclipse.
It was like 2 weeks ago now. We can move on.
I know. Seriously. I want to say one thing from Tuesday when I was on the Levitard show, because this was important to me. And I say it in the context of listeners of our show continually get mad at Christopher for being quote unquote too mean to me on this podcast.
All right. Like, I don't like see this that much, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't see it, but like the way you talk about this,
it's
like,
our most common written complaint.
Yes, it is.
I hear you both say that. Okay. I don't know what like it's not tweets. I don't see any tweets.
It is
about
tweets
it.
and it's reviews. It's not 50 a week.
Yeah,
but if you're looking at percentages,
I think that's a made up stat.
Okay, it isn't.
I don't see it. Like it's just like your opinion on it. Like when you say that's the numbers, like there's no facts on that. That's just your thought on it.
All right. The reason I'm bringing that up is that something came out on the Levitard show this past Tuesday that I didn't know about, and I want to mention it because it meant a lot to me. Which is that you were planning behind the scenes with help from Stu Gatz to have a surprise trip to the Masters golf tournament for you and I. And
yeah, I think I appreciate your appreciation there, but it was a Stu Gatz offer to me. It was his idea to surprise you. Like it's disingenuous to like, I was of course like, holy shit, this is a bucket list thing for me to do with my dad. Like I was obviously in on the entire experience, but I can't take credit for it, is all I'm saying.
Okay. I figured it came from Stu Gatz because he has the connections up there. Right. But I just wanted to mention that it truly is the thought that counts.
Oh, no, it would have been amazing.
In this case, it was. Yeah.
And
we had already had plans. When you all are listening to this, I'm in Los Angeles at the Jimmy Buffett tribute concert with Paul McCartney and Eagles and all that stuff. So I couldn't have done the Masters thing, but I certainly did appreciate that behind the scenes, you and Stu Gatz were working to make it happen.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And we hope to do it next year. So
yeah, I want to, for sure. Yeah, that'll be fun. I mean,
it won't be a surprise at this point. We probably shouldn't have said anything, but
I'll forget.
Now you
give me a year. I'll forget.
Now you like expect it, so it's just like this weird
it's
like.
True. It's going to be a year of entitlement.
Yeah,
Greg, I've been sitting on this since Vegas. Stugatz and Chris both told me, and but honestly, I thought somehow it had been arranged for you all to go play around at Augusta. I did not know that it was just that it was to go watch the Masters.
Yeah,
and which is bigger?
Well, like, it was
playing around
be,
is yeah. harder to get into, right?
It was playing for sure is like something that like you have to you have to be more than a media member. But we were gonna do content from there the way Stugatz did a couple years ago, like we were gonna do the show from there and all that stuff. But playing great. is the optimal.
Well, I don't my ego doesn't need to play Augusta because I don't need to shoot 123 at this point in my life.
Yeah,
you know, and that would be tough. The one time we played, what was it, Pebble Beach, and it was brutal. I mean, even if you play well, shoot 111.
So. You almost said, even if you play well, you shit 123. Like, that's pretty much appropriate.
Yeah. That would be me shitting all over Augusta, shitting in Amen's Corner. No, there's no way.
Your album cover, your album title.
Shitting on Amen's Corner. The Hee-Haw 3, shitting on Amen's Corner. That'd be great. Speaking of shitting, Yeti, you just went to see David Sampson perform live. And I want to know how that went. Like, I can't even pick. What does he do? Wineries? He's playing a live tour of wineries?
Did you say speaking of shitting because wine makes you shit?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's exactly what I meant.
Okay, so City Winery, it's a chain of wineries called the City Winery. They have one in Atlanta. And so he worked out a tour through their venues. It was a cool venue. It's not a large venue. I would love to play a show there. I'd love to see like one of my favorite musicians play there because it's real small, close to the stage. Reminds me of when I first started going to see concerts, except for a little bit nicer. But yeah, so he's on a little live tour right now. First that he's done, and it's just him. Now on last week's Coca, his producer Matthew Coca was with him. Yesterday he was completely solo for most of it, but it was cool. Got to meet up with the mayor of Cartersville, Matt Santini, and Lou from Cincinnati. We're all friends and stuff, so we got to hang out again. Got to meet some show fans. There was a guy, Duty. He recognized my voice like 30 seconds into me. He said, "Wait, is that Yeti?" And I was like, "Ah, cool," you know. And so got to meet a few people and promote the Greg Cody Show a little bit.
I'd know those tones anywhere.
But yeah, so he had Dan Uglow was there because you know he and Dan are really good friends, and Dan lives in Atlanta now. And so he came up and talked about the old days, especially about how he got signed with the Marlins, and that was fun.
And he's
actually really easy to talk to. I talked to him for a little bit afterwards. Asked him how often his biceps get compared to Ron Gantz. Nice. And he said, "I wish that would happen more often. I'd be flattered." But
now he had Ugla and Juju Gotti. Now, you got to close with Juju Gotti there, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, in terms of like, because it's essentially a late night show, and there's a first guest and a second guest. Even though, like, I think in the main show, the first guest is the optimal. In this setting, you want to close with the big dog.
No. So, like, I mean, all your rock shows and stuff. It's you have your opener and then your.
But I compared it to late night shows, and late night shows, the first guest is the better guest.
Really? I've never. But then again, I was mainly only watching for the musical guests, which were always at the end.
I'm telling you, this is a thing. It's like a negotiated thing. Like, am I first guest or second guest? Like, when you're on Johnny Carson, you want to be the
fall asleep.
You want to be Johnny the first Carson. Guest that comes out.
Oh, Grandpa would fall asleep to Johnny Carson every night. He'd try to read his Bible, and then he'd just pass out at the kitchen table with Johnny Carson right beside him. Juju got up, had a great conversation with him, a little bit behind the curtain of the Levitard show, and David really wanted the audience to know how much work Juju puts in, and Juju shared some really good experiences about him and David and things he's learned from him and how to adapt into that structure and stuff. And so it was a really nice night. Glad I did it. David was really kind and got me in. He put me on the list. Thank you, David.
David Sampson is always very kind.
Yeah, really cordial.
He's a genuinely good guy.
Yeah.
So. I want to cut to the chase, though. Paint the scene for me, as Christopher likes to say. Are we talking about a few hundred people in the middle of a vineyard? I mean, what's the setting?
it was between 30 and 50. I didn't get a good count, but somewhere between 30 and 50. It's a small venue. I don't even think it would have held 200.
That's good, though. You know, getting 50 people out
on a Monday night
is not, that's not nothing.
Yeah. And he was really appreciative of that. He recognized, like, thanks for coming out on a Monday night. I know this isn't easy. And national championship night, you know, thanks for coming out. And so,
That was the oddest choice of the thing. It's like, man, on national championship night.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone.
It's interesting to watch him work, you know, on his show when he's got Coca in his ear. It's interesting to watch him work on the Levitard show, and then to see him in a dynamic where he is having to carry the whole thing, like a stand-up act almost, where he's just storytelling, though.
And how long did he do?
It was an hour and a half. That's not easy.
No.
And I mean, remember you trying to run the show one time, Chris, and you just came in with the weather report. Hi, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
78 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you petered out after 3 minutes.
Rocking with you on a Wednesday. I mean, hey, it's the best 3 minutes of your life. All right. Let's not.
Zagat. I mean, look, I still remember it. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, it was interesting to watch the creative process in that dynamic. And that's what that was probably what I enjoyed most about the evening, was observing from that perspective.
Isn't this a mail sack episode?
Yeah, we need to get to what the people came here for. Greg's mail sack.
It's Greg's mail sack. Let's pull your question from the bag and let Greg answer back.
Okay, Greg. So yeah, we had several submissions, some funny, some not. But this time we actually had a lot more interesting questions than we did kind of funny questions and stuff. So I think this will be a slightly different take on the mail sack, but I'm excited to get in. So
mail sack.
Let's start first with our friend Randy with a question about eating.
Hey guys, it's Randy from Indianapolis on a mobile. I was calling to ask if when eating food such as a hamburger, do you eat to save the best bite for last? Example, you eat around the outside of a hamburger and leave the center best bite with all the toppings and cheese for last. Same with pizza. You eat the crust, leaving a best bite for last. Just curious. It's something I've always done. Asked around and it didn't occur to me that not everyone ate this way. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about this. I think that you do the exact...
This is Greg's mail sack.
I don't care. I think...
I was thinking the same thing, Yeti. I was about to answer.
I think you do the exact opposite of what this guy's talking about. I think the first bite is the best bite on like a burger or a slice of pizza.
Second it.
And every bite after that is a little lesser. Like, there are good bites and there are setup bites. Like, sometimes I'm biting a burger, the first one's amazing. That second bite might be just a setup bite for that third bite where I'm gonna really have a great angle on this burger. But for the most part, I think that you're always, you want to come out of the gates with a strong bite, you know. Like, I don't like waiting to the last bite of a burger for it to be like the first good bite. Like, what are we doing here?
Okay, all bites are created equal.
No,
like, I have never, no, I have never had a slice of pizza or a cheeseburger where I'm thinking to myself, you know, that bite, it just wasn't that good.
That.
Or where I'm thinking, this is the golden bite right here. You know.
But that, look, see, I think you do this subconsciously. I'm thinking back to Villa Rose, those nice crispy square pieces of pizza.
Right.
You're picking that up, and that first bite you're going for, you're assessing, where is there some good both ratio of cheese and pepperoni and so, oh, right here, I'm going to start with this corner.
Like, no, that's true. That's true. And I'll use an example. Sometimes a cheeseburger is presented to you on the plate and it's a little bit lopsided. Like, there's one side that's got a little more meat sticking out and there's the other side of the bun that's cheated a little bit. I'm going to start with the meat side that's going to be the money bite. You know what I mean? So that is a thing.
Yeah, but you're going for that bite early. You're with me on this. Randy's like building up for this good bite. It's like, Randy, my man, enjoy it. Enjoy that first bite. Build up. Start.
Yeah, I think all bites are created equal for the most part, though.
But you just agreed that they don't.
It's a great question by Randy from Indy.
It's a good start.
Our next question comes from I would consider Seth Campbell. I'd consider him an A1 listener, P1 listener. I'm not sure what we call them these days.
I would consider him a friend.
Yeah, maybe a friend. He's a musician from Boston, and he actually has a music question for you, Greg.
Okay.
Hi, Greg. This is Seth from Boston. Speaking as one proud music snob to another, I'd love to hear some more of your favorite deep cuts and lesser-known album tracks by popular artists. You know, songs in the veins of Curtains by Elton John, one that we both love. Thanks.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Boy, that's catching me off guard. Let me think.
I wasn't listening to the question while you think. I'll filibuster for you. I can't wait to see how many times Yeti's redundant with saying the person's name
and then
them saying their name. And then the one time he's not going to say the person's name, they're not going to say their name.
Correct.
Right. Well, with Elton, I could name two dozen songs, because all of his album cuts are even as good as the big songs. There's a song called from Toots and the Maytals called "Time Tough," which is a favorite of mine. One of my all-time favorite songs.
You've shown me that song. I like that song.
You've mentioned it on the show because you like the way they say. There's a certain phrase in there, and you really like the way they say it.
I love the way they, instead of saying "times tough," like times are tough, it's "time tough," which I just think is a perfect touch. I can't. That's a very good question that I'm not doing justice to, because I'm not good with cataloging songs in my mind and having them at immediate access, but. Suffice to say that when I love an artist, I love just about everything they do, including the deep cuts. And generally speaking, and this was way back to when I was first listening to music, the big hits that you heard on the radio generally were not my favorite songs. The Elton's seminal song, album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Greg's Mail.
One of my favorite cuts on that was not only Curtains, which has been mentioned before, but what's the name of that song? Damn it.
Titled Not Good Enough for Me to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've lost Greg now.
Let me tell you, time tough. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Greg Cody, let's reggae go. Guy.
Oh, I love reggae. I remember once Michael came to me making fun of me because what am I doing listening to reggae? Like, I'm too old for reggae, and I had to school him. I pulled out a junior. Bob Marley. I was listening to Bob Marley in 1971. I mean, this is reggae music is not new. I had to explain that to him. Anyway, I'm going to think of that song before we're done.
Christ, you're episode. Still thinking of a song? Like, God.
Okay, hang on just a second.
While you're doing that, we're going to go to our next question. This is, I want the audience to tell us if they think this is real or AI, because this might be the best Hank Hill imitation I've ever heard.
Hello to Greg Cody of The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. My name is Bill. And I'm the assistant manager at Bricklin Propane. Well, I wanted to ask what the best way to grill a burger is and why it would be propane. Thank you and have a grill-tastic day.
The hit at the end got me.
I don't think that was AI. I think that was just a good impression.
Second it.
Is the hit at the end is what makes me think it's real. And that's really good. Whoever you are, excellent work.
Yeah, that was great. Retroactively... The song I couldn't think of the title of from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road was Roy Rogers. Great song.
Oh, so glad we went back to that. Dad,
Okay, and now the fake AI guy is asking me what's the best way to grill a burger.
Yeah.
There's great debate on this in our house. I think the classic is I'm going to do it right over charcoals on my kettle grill. But I tell you, I am not a snob. I like cooking a burger right on the stovetop, right in a cast iron skillet.
Oh, I was like, do you put a pan down or do you just do it on the stovetop?
Right on my hand. I can warm up my hand. And no, I'm not a snob like some people. I don't need it to be on a grill.
Who are you being passive aggressive to there? Is mom not like it on?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He does not like the stovetop burger because she thinks it's just cooking in grease and everything. I take it out of the pan. I put it on a paper towel. I get all the grease off.
Mayo.
Sack. You get a beautiful crust.
Sacking it.
Just the... You can control the heat so much better on a stovetop than you can on over charcoal.
It's also it's also easier.
True.
Very true.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Our next question, you know, we've had topics of Greg's long-lost loves the last couple of episodes, this next question kind of, you know, harkens back to that time.
Oh, let's not.
First of all, Three Facts Jack, every week, weekly segment. Dad Jokes, weekly segment. The people want it. Heard. The people demand it. Right. Please, give us that. Second of all, this is Pal.
It's actually third of all.
Third of all.
It's actually fourth of all.
Just want to know, what was Greg Cody's most successful pickup line? How often did he use it? How often would it work? What was the percentage? What's the batting average on that? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen to the Greg Cody podcast.
Okay. That was actually fourth of all because he did two things and then he said the Kyle.
That's Pal. It's okay.
You know, he...
Oh, that was Pal?
Yeah, that was Pal.
Oh, my bad.
That was his second of all. Second of all, this is Pal.
I thought he said this is Kyle. I thought I thought that was like a mystery crate. Like,
No. It's Pal.
Okay, first of all, thank you for loving Three Facts Jack. Second of all, I think he's making fun of me because I say first of all the time.
Oh.
I've noticed that about myself because I listen to all our podcasts.
Like six times?
To hear, usually three or four times, to hear things that I didn't hear live. Like, we won't get into it now, but like in last week's episode, Yeti very casually mentioned that he was 9 years old in the fifth grade. And that flew right over me at the time. And now I'm thinking, what the hell? But so we'll get into that later.
Dad,
but in this case,
I just want to laugh real fast at how comical it is that the amount of tape that you watch on yourself when it comes, like the equivalent of like you grind, like the way like NFL coaches want their quarterback to grind film. Like
I look at film.
Put out a podcast and then you get right in the lab. You don't celebrate. You get in the lab. You listen to that thing six times,
four or five. Right.
And yet the lack of growth as a podcast host is just astounding. You're like Kyler Murray in here. Like you are doing
that.
You're doing the work, but it is just not paying dividends.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Is this what the audience means when they say I'm mean to you?
Yes, probably.
So your best pickup lines, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have, you know, I could quote a million country lyrics. Like if I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
How did you ask out Arlene then?
Yeah.
What got her attention?
He was the big Herald guy. I mean, the big college writer guy. She came to him.
We were like, hey, baby.
Right. I was the big man on campus and she was wearing a tube top, which at the time was like a... I know. Baby. Kids look up tube top. I didn't have a pick. I wasn't smooth enough to have a pickup line. You know, I just got by on personality.
But how did you approach Arlene then?
Hey, want to go play some Stratomatic?
Right. Is that what
you
said?
I don't remember. It was witty. You know, I'm sure I was charming in a... in a silly, witty kind of way.
Witty was there?
No. Oh. Come on. Witty meant humorous and clever.
If there's one thing the Cody men can do, they can make women laugh and they can be funny. Okay. And I would imagine that's how my dad got it done.
That goes a long way.
Yeah, that's the modern pickup line, is just to be amusing. You know, that amusing comes off as a nice personality. You know what I mean? Even if you don't have a nice personality, if you're witty, it comes off like that. So that's what works for me.
All right, here's a beer question for you, Greg.
Hey, Greg, Chris, Yeti, Drinks with Ron here. First-time caller, long-time listener. Also a bit of a home brewer.
Second it.
Got taps in my basement, and one of those tap handles is adorned with the sticker of The Greg Cody Show. With Greg Cody. Now, since they are homebrews, I obviously can't slap a Miller Lite on there, it wouldn't work. But if I were to create, say, a Greg Cody-centric beer with a name like, oh, I don't know, say, that kind of thing, which style would you recommend? You know, maybe a nice cream ale, pilsner, I don't know. Up to you. I'd appreciate any input. And, of course, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah! Ron died. Holy crap. Ron died at the end of that.
He didn't actually die.
Wow. What was that sound?
But he said he tripped on something.
Are you serious?
And he left it in to send it to you. That's a guy that gets the show. That guy gets it.
The hell am I listening to?
Look, this wouldn't be the first time I've seen Ron trip over something. It's weird.
All right, to make the question simple, I'm going to eliminate the trendy IPA. I'm not a huge IPA fan. It has to be something more than a pilsner. It can't be that light. You know what? I'm going to go with a Belgian ale.
Mayo?
Sack. Okay. I'm going to go with a Belgian ale.
Sacking it.
A little bit more alky content, maybe a 7 or 8 instead of a 5. But I love the Belgian ale. It's got the mouthfeel of like a champagne. It's the champagne of beers. So we're going to go with a Belgian ale. And by the way, I want to appreciate that this guy is home brewing, because I've tried it and it's a pain in the ass. And my late friend Alan Cherry used to do that. And his Christmas gift to me every year was a quart of home brew beer that he would bring me in a big clear jug. Glass jug and
you would drink it and you would drink it and go, not that good.
No, it brings back nice memories.
Go ahead, Chris.
I actually have a bit of an announcement that we are kind of in talks. I don't even think I've told either of you about this. I have a DM from local brewery Jay Wakefield. I'm just gonna say their name because we're friends with them.
Ooh, Wakefield.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
They want to make another Greg Cody. Like with the great, they want the Greg Cody Show essentially to have a beer, and they want to do like a whole thing with us. So we are in talks, and of course you should always follow them. I'll give them the free shout out before we've even, you know, teamed up officially. But we love Jay Wakefield, and that would be fun to do another beer.
Yeah, maybe a Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody occurrence. Yeah, at Jay Wakefield one day.
We want to do it. We've been talking about doing a live show somewhere. Yeah. So you never know. You never know.
That'd be great. And we love Wakefield Brewery. We love Wynwood.
It's Jay Wakefield.
Oh, whatever. Second. You know, I know them well enough. I just use the last name. You know. Yeah. What's Jay stand for? Jack Winfield?
What does it stand for? It's not Winfield.
Jack Wakefield?
I mean, what are we doing?
Okay.
All right. Now, Greg, this is a very simple question. This next question is very simple.
Okay.
I want you to answer it quickly without thinking too much.
Hey, it's Schweitz up in Canada. My question for Greg is a game of Mary Kill, Edwin Pope, Gary Stevens, and Dave Hyde. Have a good one.
Wow.
Okay, a game of what? What did he say?
So that means sex.
Okay.
And then marry, so it's like more, you know, emotional.
Okay.
And then murder.
Oh, what a ridiculous question.
Edwin Pope, Gary Stevens, or Dave Hyde? Which would you do with each?
I don't even know how to answer that question.
Greg plays.
I would marry Edwin Pope.
There you go. That's how you play the game.
Okay. I would marry Edwin Pope. I'm not going to kill anybody.
Dad, play the game. No. We know no, you're I'm not actually play. You're not actually killing them. This is a scenario where Mayo you have sack. To do this to survive. It's a stupid hypothetical. Like, no one thinks you're going to murder them.
So if you don't want to say it, just say which one you're going to have sex with.
And yeah,
then it'll default to the
right. Yeah. I think people could put 2 and 2 together. Just let me marry Edwin Pope in a simple ceremony and let's leave it at that.
You should be like, I'm going to marry and Edwin Pope.
Damn right I am. I'm not even going to wait for the honeymoon. We're still in church and it's happening. Are you kidding me?
All right. We're actually going to pivot to one of our Vicky. She says her name, but I'm going to say it here. Vicky from Doral has an interesting question for you.
Hi, Eddie. Vicky from Doral here.
Yeah.
Hey, Morgan. I'd like to know what Greg Cody's top 5 Dan Le Batard, Greg Cody friendship moments are from pre-Pirate Ship days. They go back so far. Their history's got to be amazing. I'd love to hear 1 or 2 of the stories and maybe top 5. Anyway, love you guys always. And you know what? Bye.
Vicky sounds so nice.
A Yeti shout out. Wow.
And a Morgan. Yeah. She shouted out Morgan.
That's more appropriate to me.
Vicky, we love you. I feel like asking for a top 5 is getting a little pushy. Okay, it's like when people, you know, normally, and I still do Cameo, when people ask me for a birthday, happy birthday, it's so simple to do. And then every once in a while, you get a Cameo request that's like, do a back in my day about my husband having a, you know, that's a lot to ask.
All right, but I will challenge you not to say like New Orleans with mashed potatoes in my hair.
That's a common one. Yeah, okay, well, that's, knows that story.
I'm just saying like, really, I mean, can you reach in the bag here? And like say something that like really think about, like she's asking for genuine friendship moments between you and Dan.
Did you ever pull any pranks on Dan when he was first starting out the Herald? Any hazing or anything like that?
No, we didn't have much hazing at the Miami Herald at the time. I think he's told the story about when we first met and you know, why he and I had an instant bond. So I'm not going to relive that. As recently as today in the studio, when it was just the two of us, we had a conversation and he showed me a text, and it was a very personal moment, and I'm not going to get into details, but you know, there's so many things. I remember once I drove down to the Upper Keys and met him. Actually, it was the Middle Keys. I think we met at Jimmy Johnson's bar at that time, and it was just a great time, just the two of us. And you know, we've had a lot of moments over the years that have been very emotional. We have the, like a lot of guys, I think we have the kind of relationship where you go, you know, weeks without really talking, other than when I'm in the studio Tuesday, you know. But we don't, you know, it's not like we see each other a lot. But when we do, it's very tight. It's very emotional. I want to say one more thing. Dan actually signed off on the name of this podcast, and it was just before the Super Bowl in the 2019 season, just before the pandemic. And we were driving from the Super Bowl Center, where we'd both gotten our credentials, and we went to this tequila bar in Miami. And this is a rarity. We don't do this that much. It was just the two of us, like, drinking tequila shots all afternoon. And when I told him, he said, "What are some of the names for the podcast that you're thinking of?" And I railed against how the Herald wanted me to name it, you know, Miami Sports 305 and all these corny sports specific names. And I told him, "I'm thinking of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody." And he laughed out loud. And that's why the show is named what it was, because it passed his test. And that's how much I respect him.
Second it.
As a serious journalist down to as a silly person who loves the laughs first. So I love Dan, and he's a dear friend.
My favorite Dan stories that I've heard since getting to know you are just the ones Alex told me. Like, you know, he hears people talk about Dan Le Batard, this guy on ESPN, and blah, blah, blah. And Chris is like, "Oh, that's the guy who used to come over and eat all our chips."
Yeah.
Just having the friend perspective that Chris has always tickled me.
Chips and salsa.
Oh, and believe me, Dan and I have played in numerous numbers of games of Ms. Pac-Man in my game room back in the day. So he's...
Who was better?
Me. Barely.
All right, Vicky, that was a great question. Thank you. Let's go to break right there, and then we'll come back. We've got a few more to go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, listeners, this is Yeti Blanc. If you've been around a while, you know that we are in love with Sheets and Giggles. Their CEO, Colin, and his lovely bride, Madison, just got married, and Colin is wanting to celebrate their love by offering what I think is the biggest discount that I've seen them offer so far. So I want you to go to SheetsGiggles.com/Greg and try something out. Put some items in your cart, go to checkout, and then find the box that says discount code or gift cards, then use the code WEDDING and watch how much the price drops. I tried this with a king-size mattress, and it was over $740 off. That is a 47% discount, folks. That is a premium king-size mattress for less than $900 after tax. If you're not in the market for a mattress, that's okay. This code works on everything on the site. 47% off of your sheets, pillows, pillowcases, mattresses, any of the bedding that you need. But it comes to an end very soon. The lovebirds are about to come back from their honeymoon, which will mark the end of this sale. So go to SheetsGiggles.com/Greg and support this lovely company that does so much to support this lovely show. SheetsGiggles.com/Greg, code WEDDING, but go now before the sale ends. Now, go. Now.
It's Greg's mail sack. Let's pull your question from the bag and let Greg answer back.
So we've got a few more questions, most of which are actually about your career. And we've got one more about food. What do you want me to lead with?
Whatever you think, Eddie.
All right, let's get the food one out of the way. This is Andrew Jacobson.
Greg, first time, long time. Currently sick. Looking for your recommendations on soup while sick. I know you're a butt man, but I really need your opinion on this. So I'll take my answer off the air.
I mean, chicken noodle. Have a nice day. Like, what are we doing here? Like, geez, what does he think we're going to be breaking ground with this?
Yeah, it's true. I hate to say it. There's so many great soups. Like, I think my favorite soup of all time is sausage and lentil. But for a cold, I would go toward a split pea for something different. Lately, I've gotten into matzo ball soup, which I haven't really known until fairly recently. And basically, it's chicken soup with a big meatball-like pile of round of
matzo.
Yeah, matzo, which is like a, I don't know, what is it? It's like a flour? What is matzo? I don't even know. But anyway, you have to, don't reinvent the wheel. Have a nice chicken soup. Great. Enjoy yourself.
Is that guy's name Andrew?
Yes, Andrew Jacobson.
Second it.
I think the next question he's going to submit is, what's the best snack to eat during a movie at a movie theater? Like,
I mean, I'm thinking something that might be corn-based, but yeah. I'm not sure. What would you suggest?
What do I order when I go to a steakhouse? It's like, I got news for you, Andrew.
I mean, no, you know what? In fairness to Andrew, I think pea soup is a great alternative.
Sometimes you want to live inside that box. I know living outside the box sounds fun, but sometimes you want to snuggle up, especially when you're sick. Especially when you're sick, you want to snuggle right in that box.
Yeah.
You don't always got to be outside the box, people. Sometimes enjoy that box in there.
Hey-o.
Okay. Get well soon, Andrew. Don't be snick.
This next question comes from CJ Ratliff with a question about your career.
I don't know if I got three career-based questions in me.
Hello, Greg. During your lifetime, you have enjoyed two illustrious careers of writing a column for the Miami Herald, along with joining the Dan Lebatard Show with your own podcast now, The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Just wondering, which one do you find more fulfilling and which one do you enjoy the most? And you know it.
Spending time with his son. Next.
Greg's Mayo Sack.
I think I enjoy my own podcast, The Greg Cody Show, because the most. I enjoy the Lebatard Show second, even though I'm only on generally once a week, sometimes twice. But as far as a deeper fulfillment, I still enjoy the writing process and the Miami Herald. Even as the newspaper industry withers around me, I still get great fulfillment out of what I think is a well-written column, no matter how many people are reading it, and it's all quantified now. So I know exactly what is a successful quote-unquote column, but sometimes the columns that I like the best and that I know are the best are the ones not necessarily being read. So I enjoy that dynamic of the newspaper industry as well. So I think at heart, I'm still a writer first and somebody leaning into a microphone second.
Very good. All right. So I'm going to go to our next guest. We met this guy in Vegas, and I think his voice sounds like Mark Ruffalo. This question might put you in a precarious situation, but maybe not.
Okay.
What's up, Greg? My name is Bryce Morgan. We met in Vegas. Big fan of your writing and the show in general. You guys changed my life, so thanks for everything. My question is, during your career at the Miami Herald, were you ever presented with an opportunity to go to a different publication, whether it be a larger paper, D.C., New York, L.A., etc.? Had you ever considered a move?
Thanks.
And if you hadn't, do you regret ever not trying to take on a different opportunity just to challenge yourself or to do something different? Anyway, again, thanks for everything, man. Love you guys. Appreciate it. And you know it.
There we go.
Yes. He nailed the dismount.
He was trying to figure out which dismount to go with.
It's always, and you know it, always works. Thank you for the question. Actually, there were a couple of feelers. I wouldn't call them serious offers over the years, but there were a couple of feelers. I remember once the Minneapolis Star Tribune approached me. I think the paper from San Jose, the Mercury News, I think once did.
What were your demands? $25,000 a year and a full carriage ride to and from work every day?
Yes. I remember the carriage ride was definitely there. But, you know, with me, I never wanted to move. That's why I never have moved. And so it could have been the Washington Post offering me a job, and I would not have taken it because I didn't I didn't want to uproot my family. And you all have to consider as well that my wife has a much more successful career than me and makes a shit ton more money than me. And so I'm never going to move away from that. Okay, thank you.
What if Kornheiser called and says, I want you to come and work with me and write with me and be on PTI with me, but you have to move?
You know, there might have been a time in my career that would have been tempting, like 20 years ago. But now I'm like, Tony, thank you. No thanks, but can you be on my podcast next week? Thank you. Tony the K. We love Tony. Believe me.
That was a great answer. All right, last question. I'm saving my best friend for last. This comes from Andrew Streeter.
Hey, Greg, this is Andrew from San Antonio. Love the show. Just wondering if there's a single take that you've thrown out there through all the years that you've written for the Herald, an opinion or something that you put out there that you regret more than any of the other ones, anything that haunts you to this day. Thanks.
Love you can hear Mario in the background.
Yeti also digging the like 3 seconds of ambient noise on the front end of every call. Like it really sets the scene for where
it does. Like, are they in a car? What's going on? You know, the easy answer would be the Dan Marino trade Marino
Come
column.
On. Reach in the really? Bag here. Reach in the
but
bag.
But that's not it.
I was going to say, I told him that you don't regret that one.
No, I don't. Au contraire, I am rather proud of that column, and which a column, by the way, that I think has aged very well.
Second.
No, there've been a couple of times over the years when I was a very young journalist that I got pranked by a couple of people I was writing about, and you know I regret that because you know it turned out to be a. I remember once back in the Fort Lauderdale Strikers days, I was. Everybody knows Ray Hudson from that era, and we've had Ray on our podcast. But Ray had a sidekick, a fellow Brit named Ken Fogarty, and this was the time of the Falklands War. And Ken told me that you know he had a sister who was on a troop ship headed to the Falklands War, and I thought that you know that's kind of a good human interest story. So I wrote that, and it turned out to be total bullshit. Because Ken Fogarty was a real prankster, and back at that time the Miami Herald and the Miami News, the long defunct Miami News, were real rivals. And after it turned out to be I was pranked, the Miami News on its front page writes a story about how the Herald got punked by something that Ken Fogarty had not you know said that wasn't true. So I probably would take that one back, but. There haven't been a lot of regrets at all. Believe me, it's been a joyride.
We didn't take issue with this enough with Whittingham a few weeks ago, but he was listing off this whole list of tragedies that had happened, like World War II and he didn't say the World Trade Center, but something like that. And then he said, and the Falklands War. And I'm like, man, nobody thinks about the Falklands War unless you're in Argentina.
I know. It was like a 2-week war, wasn't it?
Right.
It wasn't even a war.
I had to learn about it on an episode of Top Gear. We never learned about it in school, you know?
No, the Falklands. I mean, what was they had no casualties. I'm not sure if anybody died in that war. It's like ridiculous. But it was Ken Fogarty's made up sister who was steaming on a troop ship to the Falklands War to save her country.
Well, that puts an end to this turn of Greg's mail sack.
Okay, I want to thank all the people who phoned in audio questions. We love you all. Yeah. Thank you.
I can't believe Yeti said before the thing that all the callers stunk.
Whoa! You know what I particularly enjoyed was the caller. Who prefaced by saying we need 3 Facts Jack every week.
Second it.
And you know what that means. It's time for dad jokes and 3 Facts Jack.
I respect Pow, but I think he might be trolling me there. I really do think that.
Probably. He's probably also drunk.
Pow sauce.
Dad jokes.
I do have a jingle. Stay tuned.
Yeah, please. I've been hearing that for 3 years.
He's always kind of thinking that his puns are in vogue. He cracks himself up like an egg with a yolk. And now Chris's morale is broke. Dad jokes.
Why couldn't the couple get married at the library? It was all booked up.
I knew it. I was like, I was spending the first like 5 seconds. I was thinking of like, shh. Like it's their shh. shamble. Like, I was like thinking of some shush. And then right when I said book, right when I got to book in my brain, Yeti was like, zzz.
Yeah, there you go. This is a time limit. What does a caterpillar do on New Year's Day? Zzz, turns over a new leaf. What do you call someone with no body and no nose?
Nobody knows.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nobody knows. That's good. Excellent. I like that one.
That was not bad, Greg.
That is a good one.
That was very good. Okay, time for Three Facts, Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for Three Facts, Jack.
No, nobody knows is really good.
That's really good.
That might be a top.
That's number one.
That might be a top 10 one all time. That's how bad they generally are.
That's why it's number one. Number three, William Shakespeare may have invented the knock-knock joke. In Act 2, Scene 3 of Macbeth, it opens with the drunken gatekeeper of Macbeth's castle hearing a distant knock and saying, "Knock, knock, knock, who's there?" The first recorded use of what would become the famous comedic setup.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Happy birthday, Grandma Ruth.
Yes, thank you.
Last week.
105 today.
Last week.
Last week. That's true. You're right. Number two. The murderous Salem witch hunts occurred in the early 1690s, but one of the accused, 22-year-old Elizabeth Johnson, who was pardoned from execution, was not formally cleared of charges until 2022.
You happy, pal?
Number one. The first president of the United States, George Washington, was an accomplished ballroom dancer.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for Three Facts, Jack.
Bump. I thought that was funny. You hear about the wooden teeth and the funny hair. You can't picture George Washington ballroom dancing, can you?
Yeah, I can.
I don't know. Okay. Hey, I hope you all enjoyed Greg's mail sack. And we appreciate you. We don't do that much. When was the last time we did it? Not for a couple of years, it seems like.
No, we did one last year. We do one or two a year.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I enjoy them. And I enjoy the interaction with our pod family. And yes, despite Christopher cringing every time I say it, I do refer to our pod family because I appreciate you all listening every week. Don't take you for granted. Thank you very much. And look forward to hearing from you all again next time we mail sack it. Meantime, listen to me every week. Thank you.
It was a weird outro.
Get out!
Shout out to that guy. I hope he's all right.